Curro, South Africa's largest JSE-listed independent school operator, released its annual results this morning, announcing a very creditable increase in headline earnings of 23%. That's on the back of top line growing at 19% within guidance and allowing it to declare a maiden dividend of 12 cents per share, which did surprise the market and please the market as well. I was chatting to Kratos Capital's Ron Klippen earlier today, and he reckons that considering the somewhat disappointing results of 2017, this current set of numbers certainly reflects a good turnaround. EBITDA margins at 31% from 28%. So really a quality operational outcome. And if you look at it, even on the bad debt side, some clawbacks there with net bad debts declining. So overall, more than just a pass mark. Andries Grayling, Chief Executive Officer of Curro, joins me now. Evening, Andries. A good performance for you on the back of a 12% rise in learner numbers from 45,870 to 51,305. What's the breakdown of that between organic and acquisitive growth?
Good evening, Michael. Thank you for having us. Yeah, I just want to say from Curro's side, we are quite pleased with the results in 2018. I think we had an interesting year when we started 2018, and all of the industry came under pressure. And there were some exits and in learner numbers, and affordability became a problem. So the market was sort of under wait and see if we will show the results. So I'm quite pleased with our numbers in 2018 and how we managed to turn it around. And I foresee, if you look at the growth in this year, we opened this year with over 57,000 learners. Again, a growth rate of 12% compared to 2017, 2018 year. And basically, if you look at organic growth, 9% of that is organic compared to 2017, we only had about a 6% growth. And then the rest, in the beginning of January, we did some acquisitions that will bring you back to the 12%. So we're quite pleased with the growth in our current schools, organic growth. And I'm also want to say that if you look at our grade 8 learner numbers, we grew about 31% just in that specific grade, which is the entrance grade, which for us were quite surprising. It means that the market now are realizing that they need to alter the way of education, because when you go to tertiary education, it's not on Afrikaans and English. It's a lot more English inclined. So we are quite pleased with that growth.
That is an interesting trend. So perhaps some families deciding to go the public route for primary school education and then for high school education going into the Curro type stream before tertiary. Now, just to go back to your earlier point, I think the market was trying to get a handle on what happened in the beginning of 2018 and whether or not the whole private education model is sustainable, because we had seen concerns around economic slowdown impacting the size of the middle class and affordability that you mentioned. There's an immigration crisis, because when you can't keep the lights on, it does turn people off about a country. How have you managed to turn things around considering all of those headwinds?
You're totally right. We started 2017 with our 2017 results not being the best, as you mentioned in the beginning. You started with industry players not training on a JSE anymore. Your competition also showing not a massive growth in learner numbers. So obviously the whole industry were under pressure and under question. So we went back and managed on the things that's under our control. We can't manage the share price. We can't manage X, Y, and Z, but we can manage what's under our control. And that was specifically learner retention, making sure our product at each one of our schools are top-notch. Mm. We made sure that, parents know what they're paying for and they get the value added for it. I think that focus of bringing one thing, for example, we did is we brought the data management in-house to head office, and that also started building a relationship with parents to say, listen, if you go through if you're struggling with your accounts, we're not just putting you out. Obviously, at a certain point in time, we will have to make tougher decisions. But if you go for a limited time of pressure, let's talk and get a solution that will fit both parties. So, and that also changed, you know, a lot of mindset within the community. So I think it's our very offering, our product, our price for our offerings is not that expensive if you compare even to some public schools. And I must say, for us, the academies, the growth organically is about 27%, if you exclude even the greenfield. So that shows you the market, you know, in Protea, Ginsoweto, in Sizungwe, where parents need they can afford education, but they need to bust their children out to affordable public schools to get quality education.
Mm. And very smart data management, that building those relationships. And I see a lot of that centralization really driving this good operational result. Andries, just stay right there. We've got a break for the news quickly. Pusuletso Peterson is standing by.
This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
Welcome back. We're talking about Curro's results, and I've got CEO Andries Grayling on the line. Andries, we're talking about the strong operational performance that you put in for this last financial. I just want to now look into the future and talk about potential for growth. The global trend, if you look at it, seems to indicate that independent schools are moving towards making up roughly a fifth or 20% of the total number of schools in a country's education system. What is the percentage currently in South Africa that are enrolled in independent schools? And how much runway for growth do you see?
If you look at, you're so right, if you look at international trends, it's anything between 13 to 20%. South Africa, when we started Curro, were standing at 2% of the market supporting the private school segment. Currently, it's close to about 5%. So if you look at that trend, we still foresee that huge amount of growth that still can happen within within the industry. And it's just because of, I think, urbanization happening and the shortages of schools, where we, you know, give an option and help the government to alleviate the need for schooling. And I truly believe that there's still, you can double this percentage in the next 5, 7, 8 years.
It is a very compelling growth story, which is why your decision to declare a maiden dividend, despite being in a growth phase as a growth business, is interesting. Why did you see fit to return some excess cash to shareholders now rather than reinvesting for growth or paying down debt for acquiring or building new schools?
It's a really interesting question, and the one that if you ask two people, you get one with one opinion and one with another opinion. So such as we experienced the last few months with asking the same question to our big investors and also then asking the same question to our retail investors. And the main reason is it's not a big dividend as such. It's not going to have any material effect on our gearing or in our expansion capacity and limiting us, you know, to grow. It's purely based on us having a lot of retail investors and promises made by us in our previous years that we will declare a dividend in 2019. And we thought let's keep to our word. It's not going to affect our operations at all. It's not going to affect our growing capacity going into the next few years. So let's keep to that, and that's why you also will see that we haven't made a dividend policy yet, because we will only do that when we reach maturity, because it will give us the leeway on cash required as years come and go.
Well, very interesting to hear your insights into that decision. As you say, I'm sure it did generate some interesting debate within your shareholder base, but the market has certainly appreciated the largely symbolic act, and I look forward to chatting to you at the half year as you continue to roll out a very interesting strategy. I had a great pleasure of chatting to your Chief Operations Officer about the new vocational stream that you launched in Rivonia this month. So certainly continue to innovate in a space that requires, as we saw the World Bank say recently, more private sector participation if we are going to make an impact at the very apex of one of South Africa's biggest challenges, and that is in providing quality education for all South Africans. Andries, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Michael. I do appreciate it.
That was Curo CEO Andries Grayling reporting back on a very good set of numbers for 2018. The counter is very well priced by the market, but if you see those long-term trends, as I certainly do, then this is one that is definitely worth holding on to for the long term. You're listening to Classic Business.